For those of you who do not know who I am, my name is Bob Menser. I'm one of the teaching elders here. And if you've been with us for the last few weeks, this is the third in a three-part message. The overall message was called Milk, Meat, and Manna. And today's message is entitled Walking in Maturity. And that has been the overall theme of these last three messages. We as Christians are to grow up into all aspects of Christ. If you would look at Ephesians, I'm going to do a brief review. Ephesians 4. Now, and this is verses 14 and 15. But if you look at, and it's not up there, verse 13, it says that we are to grow into a maturity in Christ. And then it says, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. See, in a sense of maturity, we are able to discern those things that are false, those things that are true. We are able to stand against all sorts of schemes. But speaking the truth in love, and here it is, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. And a few weeks ago, I think it was last week, I talked about the Peter Pan principle. And there are, Peter Pan just was a boy and he just didn't want to grow up. He just didn't want to grow up. And I'm sure you as parents have seen your own kids and you think, will they ever grow up? Which is what your parents thought about you. And for Peter Pan, he's just going to remain a boy. He's just going to remain a child. But Scripture says to us, no, I want you to grow up. Grow up so you can be more effective in your walk down here. And a few weeks ago, we started with Proverbs 4, 20:22. Which reads, my son, give attention to my words. And I'm going to stop there. Give attention to my words. You have in your lap or in your hand the Word of God. And Scripture tells us it's life. Its direction, its help, its rebuke. And this passage goes on to say, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And the road to maturity begins. Well, the road to maturity begins with the salvation, the new birth. But Peter says, after that, long for the pure milk of the word, buy it that you may grow. How important it is that we, especially in the 21st century, have this word in front of us all the time. That we begin to memorize it. And as my brother Alan has always said, I think the Bible. And I love that. It's stuck with me ever since he said that to me. I think the Bible, and I'd like to think I think the Bible. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And then this passage goes on to say, for they are life to those who find them, and their health to your body. How can you neglect it? First Corinthians, by way of review yet, 13:11, says, when I was a child, I used to speak as a child and think as a child and reason as a child. And when I became a man, I did away with childish things. And I told you the true story about me at age 11 or 12 or 13. I had all of these nice little soldier men that I loved to play with. And don't ask me what prompted me to do it. But I said, I'm too old to play with these. And I packed them in a box. And I took them to the attic. And I think that this is saying to us, what childish things do you still handle? What childish things? Are you still angry over everything? Do you walk in on forgiveness? How about envy or deceit? How about hypocrisy? The book of Hebrews says, let every encumbrance be put aside. Every encumbrance. Pack it up, put it in a box, and take it to the attic. That's a step in maturity. Hebrews. Six, 1 and 2. Therefore, it says, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. Let us press on to maturity. Let's not be children anymore. And what the author of Hebrews does here is he lays down certain doctrine. He says, these are fundamental. These you should know. That's elementary. And so in maturity, we develop doctrine. We develop things that we firmly believe. And he talks about them. He says, repentance from dead works. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, it means we begin with repentance. And we don't achieve our salvation through works. It is grace. And so he's saying, you must understand that you are saved by grace here. That's the doctrine I want to get across to you. Faith towards God. Do you understand faith? Is that a doctrine you can put your hands around and say, yeah. Remember what Hebrews 6:1 says? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And in Hebrews 11, it's going to talk about numerous men and women of faith. In maturing, we develop doctrine. Instruction about washing. Baptism. Do you understand the importance of baptism? Do you understand that you were washed in the blood? There's doctrines about washing. The laying on of hands. How about this one? Do you understand? This is elementary, the resurrection of the dead. Do you understand eternal judgment? Let us move on to maturity, not laying again these fundamental doctrines. And there are others that are really fundamental also. They just don't happen to be in Hebrews 6. From Corinthians, Paul talks about He says, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshy? Are you not walking like mere men? Woo! It's a challenge to us to grow up, to become mature believers, to put aside, to pack up those things that are childish. I mean, we can go back and forth to childish things kids do. He got a bigger piece of cake than I did. I didn't get any cake. And one that you, I don't have the slide for it, but I thought it was necessary, and I'm going to read it. It's from 1 Thessalonians 5. And I did read this the last time, but I want to stop and emphasize it a little bit more. 5:14-18. And it reads as, and we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged. And as I read through these, these are little markers there. Is that a mark of my maturity? Do I comfort the discouraged? Do I help the weak? It says, be patient with everyone. Be patient with everyone. Are you kidding? See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone. Well, they did that to me, so I'm going to do this to them. They honked their horn at me, I'm going to honk it back. Yeah, they offered me a bird, I'm going to give them one too. Evil for evil to anyone. Think about that. Think about that the next time you're on social media. And there it is. They can't say that. Now I got them. Oh, yeah, that's really mature. That's a good mature point. It says, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Pursue what is good. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Man, I think we're all going down to Dairy Queen afterwards and have an ice cream, huh? Give thanks in everything. Do you know why? Because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. The road to maturity requires coming face to face with some of these things. Okay. That was the review. Now we're on to the hard stuff. What I think is important is knowing how to battle. There are two things that are necessary. One is that when you're under attack, that you have to recognize that you're under attack. It's important for us to understand that we are in a war, a spiritual war. And while we don't like to think about it, the enemy loves to torment you. The enemy loves to get you in a position where you say, I don't know what to do. But if we know how to battle, we then also have the skills to deal with that. And that's a mature believer. Psalm 18 says, and he trains my hands for battle. Psalm 144 says, he trains my hands for war. How do you respond when you're under spiritual attack? Well, we do have several examples. And the most prominent one, and you've all read it and seen it, is from Luke 4, 1 to 13. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this. And it reads, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are. And we have to understand that the devil has lots of schemes. And one of those is casting doubt. He uses deceit. He uses lies. He uses accusations. Well, if you are. The Son of God. Tell those stones to become bread. If you're the Son of God. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be behaving that way. If you're a Christian, you'd put more money in the pot. If you were. Accusations. And Jesus answered him and said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. Man, that's a question that I've had to face with myself. Do I live on the bread that comes down from heaven? Do I live on the bread of life? Jesus said, I am that bread. Your fathers ate manna, little flaky things that came down that looked like coriander. And they said, what is it? Which is what manna means. What is it? They ate it. They cooked it. They stewed it. They roasted it. They made manana bread. And Jesus says, if you want life, you'll eat this real. You'll eat the real bread. And he fought the devil with Scripture. Look at the second temptation. And the devil led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me by that numbskull Adam. And it doesn't really say that there, okay. But it's been handed over to me. And I can give it to whomever I want. And I'm willing to give it to you. All you have to do is worship me. And Jesus says, oh, no, no, it is written. And see, you understand the importance of understanding Scripture, to let that word in you, that you can handle it. And then when you're attacked, you can say, oh, no, it is written. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the third temptation. And he said, and he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And I like his approach here, Satan's approach, because now he's going to quote Scripture. He says, for it is written. Aha, he's starting to catch on. It is written, says the devil, who comes as an angel of light. He will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So go ahead. The Scripture says if you jump off of this, they're going to catch you. And Jesus answered, and he said to him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him and waited for an opportune time. One of the practices of a mature Christian is to recognize that he's in a spiritual battle and he has the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to defend himself, to thrust at the enemy. It is written. And then you fill in the blank. From 2 Chronicles, and this is really great since we talked about this so much today. 2 Chronicles, and just to give you the background, the king of Judah, his name is Jehoshaphat. And he gets word that there are a number of big tribes, the Amorites, the Moabites, and the tribes from Mount Seir, and they have gathered together and are going to attack him. You and he is outnumbered by thousands. So what he does is he calls for 3 days of fasting and prayer, and then he gathers the whole congregation together in Jerusalem, and suddenly one of the members of the congregation has a word from the Lord, and it tells him what to do. And he says, don't worry. This is not your fight, Jehoshaphat. This is my fight. So when we start to read in 2020, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust, this is Jehoshaphat speaking, put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. And they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Now, wait a minute. What happened? Well, first of all, he put them in holy robes, just like you. You have a holy robe. You have a robe of white righteousness that's been given to you. And when the enemy attacks, go to the front, ahead of the army. And in verse 27, and they began singing and praising the Lord. And they sang, set ambushes against the son of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. And they were routed. The mature, in the face of an attack by the enemy, does not run, goes to the front, and sings the praises of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, my salvation. You are my rock. You are my hiding place. Let the enemy flee. And they sang. And you know what happened? God came in and literally destroyed the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. Number one, maturation begins with knowing what skills to use in battle. Number two is transformed thinking. I'm going to read from Romans 12, 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service and worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, means you can discern what the will of God is, whether it's good and acceptable, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. See, we grew up. We were born into this world. And this world taught us to think. I don't know when you got saved, but even after you got saved, you still thought like the world. And that's what they want. John, 1 John tells us that the world, that what is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's everything in the world, and it's not from the Father. And that's what the world wants you to think and act like. And Scripture says you need to transform your thinking. You need to think differently. What do you mean I need to think differently? Well, how about this one? If you're told to walk 1 mile, walk two. Oh, that's different. You mean I have to do more than I was asked to do? Yeah, that's transformed thinking. If someone strikes you on the cheek, punch them back. Oh, that's worldly. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn and offer them the other. If someone wants your coat, give them your coat and your shirt. Transform thinking. Am I a peacemaker? Or do I stir from the bottom so it smells? Blessed are the peacemakers. And all of a sudden, transformed thinking is right there in front of us in the Sermon on the Mount. Transformed thinking is back in 1 Thessalonians. Comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything. That's transformed thinking. And mature believers get there. Now, I want you to know that that's a road to travel. Paul himself writes, it's not as though I have attained, but I do one thing. I press on to lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of. Philippians 4:8, and I'm almost out of time. So Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's any excellency, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. I mean, anxiety flies right in your face. You got to worry about this. That's not pure. That's not of good report. That's just causing me to fret, causing me to get discouraged. And once I get really discouraged, I'm gonna be depressed. And off I am. And the devil says, oh, man, I gotcha. It's just like catching a fish. Gotcha. Quickly, mature believers bear fruit. I'm going to read from John 15, 1 through 4. And Jesus is speaking here. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And now this is the question. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Mature believers have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they understand that their life and the things in their life are surrounded by what he tells you and how he ministers to you and how he teaches you. We are to abide. That means stay in relationship. Mature believers know that they have a mature relationship. And the last thing that mature believers take care of is they do a little self-checking. They check their walk. It's just between you and God. Lord, what do you want me to lay down? What do you want me to pack up and put in the attic? What do you want me to pick up and put on? Help me with that, Lord. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love. Wow. Walk in love. You mean I got to love Alan? We're going to take a vote on that, okay? He's my favorite target. And Judas turning around looking at him saying, oh, he's off of me now. He's on you. Therefore, Ephesians 5, 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Make the most of your time. Are you making the most of your time? Mature believers make the most of their time. Not me. I scroll, doom scroll, for hours. No, not really. But I get caught there sometimes. I know none of you do. I'm just talking about me. If we say we have fellowship, 1 John 1, 6 and 7, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We are children of light. And when we walk into a dark place, work, school, your relatives, your neighbor, walk in as light. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects of Him. That's what disciples do. That's what those who have been saved do. They have purpose. Jesus told a parable. He said, I want you to understand this parable. He said, a man built a house, and he wanted to build it strong, and so he dug all the way down to the foundation. And then he built the house on that strong foundation, and when the winds blew and the river came up and the floods came, that house withstood. Therefore, I want you to be doers of what I say. Not just hearers, but I want you to do the things that I tell you to do. And so as we leave here today, we're going to get some announcements first. I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to be encouraged. Encouraged that, yeah, it's time to pack up those toy soldiers. It's time to return to eating that precious word, that bread of life. It's time. It's time for me to say, yes, Lord. You sing it all the time. Yes, Lord, I surrender all. Yeah. I hold back. I said, no, I'm not giving that to you, Lord. And then pretty soon he comes knocking at my door. Yes, Lord, what would you like today? I have a nice living room I can give you. I have a kitchen that I can give you. But no, you cannot have that room over there. That room, it's mine. What would you like, Lord? I'm surrendering all, but not that room. Oh, you want that room? No, surely, I've laid out a nice decor here in my living room. Sit down, make yourself comfortable. You want that room? Okay. So, I can't speak to that, but you have a God who you have claimed you love, and He loves you, and you have a God who wants to take you on in Him. And now that's when you say, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, you're new here?